I have often said, and this is 100% true in my life, is that, I'll say women are spaghetti and men are waffles. But just let me say this, Cheryl is spaghetti and Ed is waffle, okay? I am made up of a bunch of squares, okay? I can spill from one square over into another, but I rarely can do two squares at one time. I have made the statement, and that just the way I am, I don't know if it's a confession, but I can barely chew gum and walk at the same time. It's just not, I can chew gum and I can do it really well. And I think I can walk fairly well still. But I can't do those two things to once. And Cheryl and I was working on something yesterday, and all of a sudden comes a spaghetti statement out of Cheryl's mouth. I'm like, honey, I'm chewing gum right now. And she knew exactly what I meant. I'm chewing gum right now. I don't know about that. Right now, I got all my focus on chewing gum as I was laying under what I was laying under to do what I needed to do. This message has kind of come to me, and I normally jump into a square. Sometimes I'm in a big square, and God's got so much going on that I write a list on my computer, future message thoughts, because it's like a Belgian waffle, right? It's huge, deep squares. And while I'm in there, there's all these thoughts come to me, and so I just write them down, and then I have a file on my computer that says future message thoughts. And so often when I jump into the square, and I'll sit there on a Sunday evening, like this evening, I'll sit there, and all of a sudden I'll have to get up and go to the square in my office to see what the message thought is for the next week. And I laugh at myself. That's just something I do. I jump into the square on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening to be able to see where God's taken me for the next week. And wherever He takes me for the next week is where you go with me on Sunday morning. I read an ad that somebody sent to me. Here, get your next 25 messages. Just download the messages here. That's a square that I've never jumped in. I am not smart enough to preach somebody else's message. If I don't know, I don't have enough memory to preach somebody. If I don't live it, I can't preach it. And so last Sunday, I jumped into a square. And I went to my computer and I said, future message. And when I take a message off of the future message list, I cut it from that and paste it to another document. And when I went to the future message list, it was empty. I have an empty document. And so I have no idea at that moment what square I'm going to jump into. So I step and I'm like good thick syrup and I run into the next square to say, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And all of a sudden, all of a sudden it come up to me that July 4th is on Tuesday. And I'm like, God, that's pretty cool, but I'm kind of trying to figure out what I'm going to do on Sunday. And He said, that's July 2nd and Tuesday is July 4th. I said, I got that, God, but can you give me something? You know, it's supposed to be like, angels, you know. It's supposed to sing out. He said, July 4th. And so I get on and I just start to, and I end up reading this Frederick Douglass speech from 1854. And you're going to have to stick with me. There's multiple squares in just getting up to this moment, but I feel compelled to share you all my squares. If you don't like them, just fall asleep. I'll wake you up when the message comes. So in that Frederick Douglass speech of 1854, 4th of July speech, I'm gravitated toward a few things that he says. And we know that he was a slave, and he was and slavery was still running rampant in our country. And he was giving a freedom message, which I thought was very interesting. And all of a sudden, that got me into another square where the statement, the American dream. And I ended up in that statement of the American dream. And that square was like a Belgian waffle. That got me down kind of deep. It kind of pulled me in. And I spent some time and I said, what is the American dream? What is the American dream? And we know that a dream is something that you can have of images while you're asleep. But I don't think that's the American go to sleep. I don't think that's what that means. And have mental images while you're sleeping. And I'm pretty sure that's not what that means. And so as I pondered that, and then I went and just started looking up, what is the definition of the American dream? And it's pretty universal, the idea that the United States is a place where anyone can be successful if they work hard enough. That's the kind of the given definition. But then one said this, with a good job and a nice house and being married and two children and plenty of money, one believes they are living the American dream. And I'm still in this square of the American dream, and I'm finding that that's pretty cool, and then it seems to be somewhat limited. Or are we really living the American dream if I have a nice house and I'm married and I have a couple of children and I have plenty of money? Because if you tie up the American dream, or if you look through that, it always has something to do with money. It's having enough money. It's having what money can buy. It's working hard to get money. It's more money. The more money you have, the more dream you can live. That's kind of the thought that was going, is the more money I have, the more dream I can live. And I say, God, that seems so limiting that I have to have pictures of dead presidents on green little strips of paper to live the American dream. And so I stayed and I wanted to, I want to live the dream, if you will. And then, so I typed in that. I said, what do I need to read? And look at the books, the Power of Ambition. Awaken a powerful force within you. That's the subtitle. Woo! That sounds like a pretty cool book. Something More, Essential Attitudes You Need to Have. Look at that. Essential Attitudes for Building the Life You Want and Avoiding Mistakes Along the Way. I have that. So I didn't buy that one. And then Amazon continued to offer me more books. Unshakable, Building an Indestructible Foundation, and The Power of Discipline, and How to Use Self-Control and Mental Toughness to Succeed, to Live the American Dream. Then there was $1 Million Habits, 27 powerful habits that you need. And The Core of Success, Step-by-Step Principles. So all these books were thrown at me. I'm still in this square, and now they're being tossed in on me. And I'm wondering, because really they come up to this: discern what you don't have, get moving, change your attitude, line yourself up, grab a hold of what is required, and take the next step. That's really those books in a nutshell. So I can live the American dream. Because I want to live the American dream. And then I find this, and the next slide is going to, then I find, the American dream awaits you. I'm like, woo! 6 books, live in America, get plenty of money, I can live the life, the American dream. The American dream awaits me. A good job, house, kids, money awaits me. But then I found a little link over here that says, live the dream. It's just so you know, just hang with me. We're getting to a message here. I told you I was going to share all the squares I got to. So I shortened that book thing up like I spent like an hour just wondering what the world is offering me so that I could live the American dream. And so I navigated some of through the journey and to what, because I want to live the American dream. And then it says live the dream. And push the button, live the dream is to have the kind of life that you always wanted to have. Now that struck me. That I can live the dream. I don't know if I want to live the American dream, because I don't know if I need to have more money before I can even have this thought of hope. But I can live the dream because I want to have a kind. So I ask myself, what kind of life do I want? What kind of life do I want? If living the dream is living the life I want, and then I heard God say, what do you want? What do we want? What do we want? And so I pondered that. And I'm 58 years old, and that's a spring chicken to some of you, and it's a white-bearded old guy to some of you. That's why they call it like middle-aged and lopping over, just creaming over the other side. And then I just wrestled in a square for a while. God, is it too late? Is it too late that I can live the dream? I want to live with, is there too much water over the bridge? Can I still live the life I want to live? And God and I spent some time, and I was asking him about my dream and asking him about the life that he wanted me to live. And the life I wanted to live. And I pondered that, and I pondered that, and I pondered that for multiple, really, two or three days in writing stuff. And I won't share some of those squares with you, but I spent some time in some squares. And they come across James 1:25. It says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, because that was one of the things, I want to be free, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all that he does. And then I run across this verse. It says, Romans 14:22, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. So I don't want to hitch my wagon to the wrong horse. That's what that means. Blessed is the man who doesn't hitch his wagon to the wrong horse. Because sometimes you can hitch your wagon to the wrong horse and it's going to take you to the wrong place. And I don't want to approve of something that's going to condemn me. I want to approve of something that's going to bless me. And then look what it says in Luke 11:27-28. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. I like that statement. You got a good mama, Jesus. I'm telling you that right now. You got a good mama. And then Jesus says this. Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So I jumped into the next square of being blessed. Is that the life I want? They want to be a blessed life. And so I started to search the word bless and just the definition in the Hebrew and the Greek definition. And it says this, blessed, to kneel, to adorn, is the Old Testament. To kneel, to adorn. And the New Testament is that we get the word eulogy from. It's the same as eulogy. Blessed is a eulogy, is to speak well of. But to cause to prosper. So there's this to kneel and to adorn and to speak well of and to cause to prosper. And God is asking me, do you want a blessed life? That's what I'm asking you. Don't leave this square yet. You're still chewing gum. Shut your mouth and just answer. Do you want a blessed life?
Come on now.
And so I studied the word, and the word blessed in the Greek. Push the button. Means supremely blessed. So it's a whole different word. It's a whole different word than to adorn or to kneel or to prosper or to say cool things about. It's a whole different word, and it means to be supremely blessed. It's to be amped up on blessing. To be amped up on a blessing. To be filled with a blessing. Do you want to be filled with a blessing? And I heard God say, do you want to be filled with a blessing? In ancient Greek, that Greek word was referred to the gods. You can push the button. Referred to the gods. Because the gods were extremely blessed because they didn't have to deal with some of the situations that were on earth. And other times that word is used to refer to the dead because they have crossed over. They no longer have to wrestle with this stuff on the earth. They are extremely or supremely blessed. And it's also used of those of high privilege, because they don't have to struggle with some of the things that people struggle with in poverty or less than what somebody else might have. They are extremely blessed. I'm not saying the Bible uses this word, but in Greek history, that's what they use the same word for, to be blessed. And it's also used to refer to the result of living in righteousness, living and doing what is right. But every one of those words was the normal cares and problems are you're above those, so to speak. And each one of those words pointed to the thinking that a blessed person is not just your ordinary everyday person. Am I making sense this morning? So, say the waffle's almost done with the squares here. It's not like the double waffle. It's like ours makes four. This is just one quarter of that. So I'm about over here on the square business, so hang on. But God has brought me, and he says, what kind of life do you want? Do you want to live the American dream where you just got to strive to get more money to get what you think you want? Or do you want a blessed life? Do you want a life that is described as just not your ordinary person, but a person that has been given more, a person that has been entrusted with more, a person that has been given something more and greater? My dream, I come to the conclusion on Wednesday about noontime or just after, that my dream is to be blessed. I have a dream to be blessed. To be entrusted with what God wants to entrust me with. To give me anything and everything that he wants to give me. No matter where it takes me. No matter what it does in my life. God, I don't have an agenda. My agenda is to be blessed. My dream is to be blessed. And I came to that statement and that conclusion in my square on Wednesday afternoon, sitting in my office, and I got this feeling, God, I think you're hearing me. So Wednesday night, I come to group. Just so you know, Wednesday night, I come to group, and the kids are also here. In runs one of the kids from kids group, and he says, Pastor Ed, I colored you a color paper this week, and I want to give it to you. And he lays this paper in front of me.
Wow. 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 Woo!
I don't know about you, but that's powerful.
Amen.
Of all the color papers that Emerson could have colored for me, and all the ones he could have laid in front of me, and had courage enough just to come up and give me a color paper that he did, and God was saying, I hear you. Live it. Live the dream. You want to be blessed? I want to bless you. You want to be given? I want to give. You want to be entrusted with? I want to entrust you. You want to be not just your everyday run-of-the-mill temple? I don't want you to be that way either. I want to fill you up. Say yes to your dream. And so, I obviously, I hit Thursday morning in the office with this zing in me. And so, I say yes to the dream, and God says, okay, let's go. What? Now I need to get under the dream, so to say. I need to get under where the blessing is. Now I need to get under the shower. Now I need to get under. God, I want to line up on you, God. I want to line up on you, God. You have convinced me that you heard me. You have convinced me. Not only did you hear me, but you did that in my soul. You led me through those squares. You took me square by square by square by square because you wanted to tell me, live your dream. God, where do I go from here? What do I do from here? And Jesus uses the word blessed, and I know you know the passages. So many times in Matthew 5, he says this, now when he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying this, you want to be blessed? Blessed, he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You want to be blessed? Jump over into the poor in spirit square. And let's do business between you and I, God says. You need to jump into the poor in spirit square because you want to be blessed because your dream is to be blessed. My dream is to give you a blessing. My dream is to bless you. But you need to get in the poor in spirit square. Because if you and I will step into the poor in spirit square to realize that I'm not all that in a bag of chips, to realize that no matter how smart I am, I'm so dull in the presence of God. He said, you need to realize that you think you got gas in your tank, you got fuel in your tank, you've got nothing in your tank. But I'm moving, God, downhill, he said. That's what he told me. You're coasting. You think you got fuel in your tank? You're coasting downhill without me. You are poor in spirit. You can go nowhere without me. And you need to step over into poor in spirit square so that I can do something in your life, so I can fill you up with something. You got to stop thinking you got life altogether. New lifers, you don't have life altogether. But there is a poor in spirit square for you. And he says, come stand in this poor in spirit square because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God says, I want to bless you, but you've got to realize, God, you've got to realize that you've got to realize that you come into the poor in spirit square. But when you do, you think I'm stepping into this square. What you're doing is you're stepping into the very presence of heaven. Are you with me this morning? I want to be blessed, and God says, I want to bless you, and I want you to live your dream, but you've got to stop thinking you can do it without me. You got to stop using me as a weekend warrior. You got to stop just coming and going. You got to walk with me. You got to talk with me. You got to realize that you can't take one step without me. You got to realize that you are empty. You got to realize that you're poor in spirit. Because once you realize that is true, whether you know it or not. I talked with a guy in prison for many, many days and many, many weeks, a whole year I drove back and forth to prison, met with a guy every week. And I said, what do you think the guys think in there about you coming out and talk to me? He said, they think that I am weak. And I said, let me tell you this, they are exactly right. They just haven't come to that conclusion yet. Because when you are weak, you're going to stand in the very presence of God. And you're going to stop being cocky. And you're going to stop thinking you got life by the tail. And you're going to say, God, I am empty. I've got nothing, God. And he says, I'm going to open up the kingdom of heaven to you. And you're going to see things that you've never seen before. And you're going to experience things that you've never experienced before. And you're going to touch things that you've never touched before. And you're going to know things that you've never known before. Because I want to bless you. God who gives life, this rattled me, and I was talking to someone about it this morning. God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. That's a powerful God. I can raise from the dead, and I can call something into existence that's never been in existence before. It's like that. And I want you to stand in my presence. I want to bless you. I'm so glad that my color page did not say, dare to live your dream. Just say yes to it. Because I'm not sure I would dare. I just need to say yes. But the poor in spirit are going to have connections with God that no one else has. And I know you know there's a lot of these poor, or these beatitudes, these blessed. Blessed in verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we know that that's tied to sin. When will we get stopped being okay with the sin in our life? I've had leeches on me, and I've had ticks on me. I don't really care for either one of them. The tick is very small. And I don't know if you've ever had a black leech on you, but they're about that long. And they're kind of slimy, and they kind of... They just stick to you and suck your blood through your capillaries. They're easy to see when you come out of a swimming hole that probably you shouldn't have been swimming in. And a decent knife can get them off. But when will we stop being okay even with the small thing? Well, I know I should be doing this, but God, I just don't have the wherewithal to do it anymore. Or I know I shouldn't be doing this, or I know I shouldn't be doing this, I know I should give up this, I know I should start this, I know I should, I know I should, I know I should. And God says, you know what? When are you going to stop saying that? And just do it. Because I want to bless you. And you're okay with standing outside the shower. You're okay standing up because you won't be not okay with the sin in your life. Well, I'm not perfect. Thank you, Captain Obvious. And God says, you're never going to be perfect until you can step into my presence. I'm not waiting for you to be perfect to come into my presence. I'm waiting for you not to be okay with it. Did that make sense? He's not waiting for you to be perfect. He's just waiting for you not to be okay with it. Because you can't get rid of it. You can't do anything. You need him. You just got to say, I am not okay with this action or inaction in my life anymore. And when that happens, you step into the presence of God, and he begins to bless you with forgiveness and restoration. God says, I want to bless you. I want you to live the dream. I want you to be blessed. And I got to just say, yeah, I don't think you would think anything different, but I am not making this stuff up. This is my heart. I am not just here to get a message for 30, 40 minutes. I'm here to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. You get to be privy to some of the stuff that God does. But I am not doing this to be a preacher. I'm doing this to be a man of God. And there are things in my life that I am not okay with. And I'm not waiting for them to get me to get on the other side. I'm just going to say, I'm not okay with it anymore. Here I come, God. I'm standing in your presence. And I am one screwed up son of a gun. And he says, I know, and I love you so much.
Come on now.
And I'm going to comfort you like you've never been comforted. I'm going to give you feeling like you've never had feeling. I'm going to give you peace like you've never had peace. I'm going to give you a hug around the neck like you've never had a hug around the neck. I'm going to hug you better than your grandmother used to hug you, which was a very good hug. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, the spirit, the blend. The meekness is the blend of spiritual confidence and strength. A powerful soul, but a gentle soul. Some of you are gentle and some of you are powerful. Some of you are like a bull in a china closet, as my mom used to refer to me. And God says, I don't want you to stop being powerful. I want you to be gentle and powerful, wrapped in perfect unity. Jesus was not weak. He was bold and he was powerful and he was gentle. All together. He didn't step in and out of power and in and out of gentleness. He was that. He said, I want you to take the power. But you got to realize that it's not like the American dream. It's like my dream for you. It's power and gentleness. You don't get to step on people. The meek, the powerful, the gentle, wrapped in perfect unity. Push the button. The powerful and the gentle, wrapped in perfect unity. They will inherit the earth. Just so you know, they win. They become the influencers. They become the one that makes the difference. They're the ones. I was told one time that, hey, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I said, not on my farm, the squeaky wheel gets replaced. Power, making more noise. That's not God. Power and gentleness inherit the earth. Win. They get to the greatest influence. The earth, the land, the place where one resides. An increased influence over the land is the byproduct, of meekness. And God says, I want to bless you with influence. But you got to realize, see, these are in order. You got to realize you can't do it without me. And you got to realize that I need to wash you. And you got to realize that I'm going to instill power and gentleness and perfect unity in you. And that's going to be a whole new dynamic for you. They will inherit the earth. 6 says, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. What are you hungering for today? I had a 15-year tobacco habit. A couple cans of Skoll or Copenhagen a day. I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but all of a sudden those things start making the calls in your life. Actually, they make the call in Cheryl's life when I would try to quit, and she would finally say, I'm going to buy it for you. You are miserable, and it's running out of you. I know what it is to crave something. I know what it is to use your last dollar to buy it. I know what it is to drive through the snow to get it. I know what it is. And he said, yeah, I don't want that craving to go away. You're craving the wrong stuff. You don't need to lessen your craving. You just need to change your focus. Crave the Word of God. Crave, be hungry and thirst for what is right, for righteousness, for what is right, God. I want to do what is right, God. Fill me, I'm hungry. No matter where it takes me, God. No matter what I have to do, I want to do what's right, God. Look at the promise. They will be filled. Ooh. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, because they will be shown mercy. This is a part of a blessed life that it's like, wow, God, I got to hurt for that person. See, mercy hurts for someone else. It's so much that you won't not do something. I got a call on the phone from someone. I don't know who it is. I know the name. I don't know who the person is. And the person on the phone is saying, I got this. And somebody said to call you. And someone else said to call you. And I said, I'm not sure what we can do, but you've called the right number. We will do something. Because I cannot help it. That's mercy. And he said, I'm going to make you more merciful. You're going to see more pain. But you don't have to just look at the pain. I've got the solution for the pain. I'm going to give you that too. Thank you. He made a promise to me today that he would be in this service. Just wanted to take notice of that. They will be shown mercy. I have in my notes, you better get moving from this point on. God's not done with a square for me, but just let me read the other things that he said to me from this passage. Push the button. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I always joked with my mom. My mom said, well, I'll tell you what. God, come down here and have coffee with me. I would say this, and I would say this, and I would say this. I said, Mom, you'd be sucking dirt if God come down here. I appreciate your zeal. But if God just popped in at your table, you would be dust. But God says here, the pure heart, you're going to see me. See how they're in order? You can't do it without me. You need to deal with this stuff, and don't think you can deal with it, but you just come and not be okay with the sin. Let me instill power in you, but gentleness in you. Let me fill you with mercy. Let me purify your heart, because I want to show you who I am. I want to bless you. Above all else, Proverbs says, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. Pure heart will see God. The peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. The ones that step in, not to add argument to the argument, but step in to add grace and mercy and peace to the strife. Just if you haven't noticed, there's enough chaos in our world. I can bring up some news clips if you want me to. What this world does not need is a bunch of Christians adding more chaos to chaos. What this world needs is peacemakers. Does that mean I can't defend my home with your pistol? Well, you just shut up. Why do we always go to, I'd shoot that guy. Okay. In the meantime, until that happens, be a peacemaker. Amen. See where you end up. I want to make you a peacemaker. You know who the number one peacemaker is? Jesus. He's the one who came to make peace between the Father and humanity. As a matter of fact, I want to call you the sons of God. How about verse 10 says this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you going to stop? Are you going to stop? When I start doing this in your life, when I start to pour this into your life, when I start to, you say yes to your dream, and I start pouring this into your life, and you meet some opposition, are you going to throw in the towel? Because once you throw in the towel, you stepped out of the kingdom of heaven, and all the supply seems to dry up. You got to stick to it. You got to stay with it. Is it going to get hard? You bet it's going to get hard. The things he's going to ask you to do. The scripture says you have not yet resisted sin to the part of shedding blood. Verse 11 says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. The reason there is persecution is just so you will stop. People persecute other people so they'll stop. And the world and the enemy wants us to stop being blessed by God. And he says, don't stop. Let me end with the last slide. Just so you know, I'm saying yes to my dream. I would encourage you, whether you're a waffle or whether you're spaghetti, whether you can chew gum and walk, get in a square with God and ask him to bless you and to walk it out with him. Stand with me. Father, I thank you for these moments together. And I thank you for Frederick Douglass. I thank you for the 4th of July. I thank you for the American Dream Statement. I thank you for those crazy books, just because they were all part of the journey that you had me on this week. You didn't want me to stop at either one of those things. You wanted to get me to where you wanted me to go, because you wanted to bless me, but you wanted me to want it, and you wanted me to realize that some of the trails that I might take are not the trails that you want me to take. So I thank you for that journey that I was on and am on. And Father, now I'm going to say yes. As Ed Jelliff, I'm saying yes to my dream that I want to be blessed by you. And Father, I want to invite all of us to say yes to the same dream. So Father, here we go in Jesus' name. As we live this week out, may you find the whole group of people saying yes to you and saying, God bless me. God draw me close. God do a work in my life. Father, I say thank you. Father, we're going to leave here now. But may this truth that you saturated me with not run off us quickly as we go through the rest of this day and the coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.